Upheaval. Breaking point. Chapter 27. Monarchs.
The morning after the initial Wolven rush greeted Bastion City with a biting cold wind. Twilight Sparkle found herself shivering on her bed. She sat up with a start and looked around. The rest of her friends were already up, and they had put on their fur cloaks. Spike sat by one corner, breathing a steady stream of green flame on his claws to warm himself up.
"Morning, Twilight," Spike greeted her.
Twilight looked out a window to find snow falling on the streets.
"I thought winter was a week or two away," she wondered aloud.
"It was,"
Vanguard Clash answered from the doorway. As always, he was already wearing his barding. Scarlet Rabbit was right next to him, hovering in midair.
"Prepare yourselves quickly. The snow is a very bad omen."
With that, he went ahead with Scarlet, leaving Twilight and her friends to ponder on what he had said.
"A bad omen?" Rainbow Dash asked. "What's he talking about?"
"Dunno," Applejack said. "They're expecting us by the walls, anyway."
The others looked at Applejack. Like Vanguard, she was already in her barding and tramplers, ready for another day's duty. Her gear was once again clean and carefully polished. Polished with spit, much to Rarity's disgust. All of them thought it was because Applejack was proud of her barding and wanted it to look as perfect as possible. It was true, but Applejack had another reason for such faithful cleaning. She didn't want a single speck of blood to stain her gear. The thought of having to get them bloody again made her shudder, but she was going to keep them clean whenever possible. Applejack was the most heavily armored in their group, and the sight of her was a daunting one indeed. Her face and coat were barely visible between the gray plates of metal. While she wasn't as covered as Vanguard Clash, the only way to recognize her was peering into the eye holes of her champeron to see her green eyes, or noticing the few glimpses of her orange coat. There was one thing that made Applejack still recognizable, however. She kept her hat where it always was. The effect was a little silly, but it helped keep some of her appearance's familiarity.
"It's too cold for flying into a fight," Rainbow Dash complained.
She flapped her wings a few times to get some blood circulating. Like Applejack, she was also wearing her barding. A set of leather ones, much to the discomfort of the others, especially Fluttershy.
"Tell me about it," Rarity joined in. "It's going to be a pain starting up Hammerchain's forge like this."
"I hear a lot of complaining, but you look raring to go, R.D., Applejack remarked.
"Of course," Rainbow Dash answered with a grin. "I still have to make a name for myself."
She looked over to Twilight, who had just finished putting on her mage coat.
"Twilight hears the talk of the recruits. Everypony's impressed by how she fireballed that siege tower. I can't fall behind that."
Everypony stopped and fell silent after Rainbow Dash said those words, and then looked over to Twilight.
"I didn't cast that spell to impress anybody, Rainbow Dash," Twilight said quietly.
She pressed her lips together tightly as she remembered that moment once more. There were no words said, but Rainbow Dash suddenly felt as if the entire room had turned on her. The first thing that came to her mind was to immediately look for allies. She looked to the pony who would be the most likely candidate.
"Hey, Applejack, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure the ponies in your platoon are still all over how awesome Twilight was."
Applejack didn't meet Rainbow's gaze. "This ain't a contest, R.D.," she said somberly.
"And if it was, I ain't hankering to be called the best wolven killer anytime soon."
Rainbow Dash looked around to see if any pony at all was even on the same page as her. No pony met her gaze. She suddenly felt a twinge of guilt, not over killing Wolven, but over not being like her friends. Cringing inside, she met that guilt the only way she knew how.
"Well, I am," she said defiantly. Her voice rose as she went on. "Best Wolven killer sounds like an awesome title to have."
Twilight's eyes widened at hearing that.
"Rainbow Dash," she started. "It's you girls I don't understand. Why are all of you moping over having to kill Wolven? They're trying to kill and eat all of us." "It's not that simple," Twilight said.
"Oh yeah?"
Rainbow retorted. "Yesterday, one of the recruits I was flying with got shot down on our way back. The Wolven jumped on her as soon as she hit the ground. I saw one of them run off with her wing in its mouth. Another one carried off a leg so it didn't have to share with the rest of them."
Her voice lowered at the memory.
"They're monsters, and I don't feel bad about killing them at all. In fact, I'm glad to be able to fight and kill these things."
She held her crossbow and made her way to the door.
"And now I'm going to get some more practice so I can kill even more of them. You can all sit here and feel sorry for the monsters."
Before any pony else could respond to that, Rainbow Dash had already flown off, leaving them to wonder just what was going on among them. Twilight could only look worriedly towards Rainbow Dash's direction.
"Seeing my subjects become more like them,"
Twilight drew her cloak around her tighter as she remembered her mentor's words. The cold of the barrier lands seemed aggressively chilling, as if the air itself took delight in stealing warmth from others. She had been through many winters, but this one filled her with foreboding.
"What in tarnation is wrong with that girl?" Applejack snapped. "She didn't need to blow up like that."
"I hope we can talk about it later," Twilight said with a sigh. "I have to go too. They're expecting me by the walls."
"Same here," Applejack said.
"And I as well," Rarity added. "Well, not by the walls, but you understand."
The three of them headed for the door.
"That's it?" Pinkie Pie asked. "We haven't been spending a lot of time together these days."
"It can't be helped, Pinkie," Twilight explained. "All of us now have duties to attend to. I'm sure even you're expected to be at the kitchens first thing in the morning."
"That's true,"
Pinkie said dejectedly. She brightened up for a moment as she continued.
"I know, we should plan some kind of party when all of us don't have any duty."
"How about after we drive the Wolven away from the city?"
Twilight suggested.
"Victory celebration," Applejack added. "I like the sound of that."
"Then it's settled,"
Pinkie said.
"I'll tell the others in the kitchens. They'll love it."
With that, she ran ahead of them and went straight through the door. Twilight looked over the room. With Pinkie gone, that left just Spike.
"Where's Fluttershy?"
she asked.
"She was out of here before you even woke up," Applejack said. "She looked pretty determined to get back to work. Makes me wonder what happened yesterday."
"I suppose Fluttershy being determined should count as good news," Twilight mused aloud. "Are you going to be all right, Spike?"
"I'll be fine,"
Spike answered.
"This time I'm going to make it to Hammerchain Smithy to help out."
"Come along then, Spike," Rarity said. "Your breath should be handy when it comes to lighting that forge."
The baby dragon hopped on her back, and the two of them headed out.
"So, Twilight," Applejack began.
"Hmm?"
"No offense, but you have been pretty awesome lately. Is it true that you got special operations ponies talking to you?"
"What? Of course not. I wasn't that good. A lot of ponies fought hard during yesterday's battle."
"Really?"
Applejack raised an eyebrow skeptically.
"No invitations? You walked in with Vanguard last night. Didn't he say he needed a unicorn mage in his squad?"
"He didn't bring that up at all,"
Twilight insisted. Applejack shrugged in response.
"Oh, well, see you later then, Twilight."
Twilight watched Applejack walk off before heading off for her post. Snow continued to fall steadily, covering Bastion City in a thin carpet of white. As she walked through the streets, she noticed the expressions on the other ponies and realized that she wasn't the only one who found the snow foreboding. A lot of ponies looked outright frightened. They saw something in this sudden change of weather that she didn't.
"Recruit Sparkle!"
One of the unicorns in Twilight's unit called out to her from atop the walls.
"We're on boulder catching duty for this morning, remember? Get to your position!"
As soon as she reached the top of the walls, Twilight headed over to her partners by one part of the wall. Mage Captain Owlsight had instructed them yesterday about boulder catching. Unicorn Magi were positioned all along the walls to catch the boulders hurled by the Wolven catapults with their telekinesis. They were not required to stop the boulders from hitting the walls, but by combining the efforts, they should be able to slow each boulder down to weaken its impact and save the walls from too much structural damage. It was a dangerous task, as Owlsight was quick to warn them. The danger of being squashed by an errant boulder was a real one, as was getting sniped by a Wolven bolter if they concentrated too hard on boulders and forgot to watch out for other dangers. Twilight gradually grew accustomed to watching out for boulders and snipers while working with the two other unicorn magi to slow each catapult shot. How easily she was able to slip into a rhythm, however, disturbed her a bit. The Wolven army did not seem particularly devoted into their catapult firing. She could also hear a steady beating of drums coming from their camp, as well as a constant howling. What was going on?
"I don't like this one bit," she heard Owlsight grouse as he walked past her. "What are those mutts up to? This snow is making me think that..."
Before Owlsight could finish, the steady drums and howling suddenly erupted into a frenzied pace. A chilling wind picked up and then rose into a howl. Twilight drew her cloak around her even tighter.
"Trotto's blazing mane, it's true,"
one of the unicorns near Twilight whimpered.
"He's here."
Before Twilight could look at whoever had spoken, a wave of fear suddenly washed over her, like a torrent of ice-cold water. She fell to her knees, her teeth chattering and her heart racing. There was something out there. Some feral, primal thing, just beyond the walls and the gathered Wolven, and it was coming closer. She forced her knees to unbend and stand. Each inch was a desperate uphill battle, but she made it. Then she looked around. The other ponies by the walls were also affected. Most of the recruits were cowering, while the older veterans were rooted to the spot, despite holding up a little better. She looked over to the ramparts to get a better look. The blowing wind had somehow worked itself up into a blizzard. It was almost impossible to see anything on the plain. All she could see were dark shapes where the Wolven had gathered. She noticed that they had parted to let something from their rear lines through. She squinted and tried to see, but all she saw was an enormous silhouette. On another section of the northern walls, Rainbow Dash had fallen flat on her belly while the wind howled all around her. An unnatural fear was crushing her heart with cold, unrelenting fingers. She looked around to see that many ponies had also fallen to the ground in a shivering panic.
"Get up, Rainbow Dash," Tailwind said just beside her.
Even Tailwind's voice was subdued and difficult to make out from the fierce wind.
"At least catch a glimpse of the enemy."
Rainbow picked herself up and used the rampart's ledge to keep herself standing. She was so terrified that she hardly felt the physical cold of the sudden snowstorm. She looked at the plains below to see what was causing this. Out on the plains, a lone, enormous figure had walked past the Wolven front lines. Rainbow could barely make anything out, but from the shape and outline, it appeared to be a Wolven. That realization alone terrified her further. This was a giant Wolven. From the size and distance, it had to be at least 20 feet tall. It stopped within crossbow range, but no pony from the walls was taking a shot. The wind would have made it impossible, but there was no pony among them even willing to try. And then the giant Wolven looked up. Rainbow felt her heart stop when she caught the giant Wolven's gaze. A lone, red glowing eye seemed to look at her, look straight through her. She found herself gasping for air. It was so hard to breathe all of a sudden. All she could manage were short gasps. It was just less than an hour ago when she was talking about killing Wolven, but now she seemed so insignificant to the might of their army. What was that monster? All it needed to do was look at her, and she was practically half dead from fear. There was no fighting that thing. No walls or weapons are even going to slow it down. The city was doomed, and every pony was going to be torn to pieces and eaten.
What is that?
Rainbow managed to croak out weakly. She doubted that any pony even heard her, but Tailwind turned around to answer. Rainbow could tell that Tailwind was also feeling the incredible crushing fear that the monster just below was radiating.
"The King of Wolvengard,"
Tailwind answered.
"Fenrir, the ravening fangs of winter."
As if to punctuate Tailwind's answer, the monster let out a long, dolorous howl that put even the ferocious wind to shame. Rainbow felt herself blacking out from terror. The world grew dim, and the howling seemed to lessen in volume. A clarion call of a neigh suddenly brought her back to consciousness at the very last moment. Rainbow's eyes flickered wide open, and her ears perked up. What was that melodious, uplifting neigh? The oppressive fear melted away, and she was able to stand up with no problem. Amazed cries around her made it clear that the other ponies felt the same way. She looked towards where the sound had come from, and was greeted by the impressive sight of a mighty gray alicorn hovering just past the inner side of the walls. She recognized the gray coat and the blazing mane. This was Prince Tirado. She had only seen him once, and only through a magical image. To actually see him was... she couldn't find the words. Even the wind seemed at awe before the Prince of Equestria. It had died down to a steady breeze.
"Our prince is here!"
one of the Pegasi along the walls cheered.
"All hail our prince!"
"Hail Prince Tirado!"
"Hail the Grand Prince of the Earth!"
Prince Tirado answered the cheers with a grim smile and a nod before flying past the walls to land just in front of Fenrir. Princess Luna followed suit and accompanied him by his side. Now that the snowstorm had stopped, Rainbow finally caught a good view of King Fenrir. The King of Wolvengard was a truly massive beast. He dwarfed even Prince Tirado, and that was without having to raise himself on his haunches. His fur was a very dark gray, almost black, and it did little to hide the powerful muscles along his neck, shoulders, and flanks. His enormous scything claws dug deep into the ground in anticipation. He had kept his jaws closed, but as Tirado and Luna approached, he let them hang open. Wicked, curving fangs lined his mouth, each one white and razor sharp. Saliva dripped from his open mouth and fell on the ground. Whenever he let out a breath, a great cloud of whiteness escaped from his nostrils. What held Rainbow's gaze, however, was his eye. King Fenrir glared at the world through his single bright red eye. His left eye was missing, and the blackness of the empty eye socket seemed to go on forever. Rainbow held her breath as Tirado and Luna approached until they were a few feet away from Fenrir. Was there going to be a fight? Was the fate of this siege going to be decided by combat between the rulers? Standing so close to his ancient foe, Tirado felt a little nostalgic. It had been so long since he had confronted Fenrir like this. Ever since the pact, the two of them had barely seen each other. The thought of missing the giant wolven was amusing.
"Why are you here, Fenrir?"
he asked. Fenrir's gaze quickly turned from Tirado to Luna. He lowered his face and sniffed at her direction, eliciting a shudder of disgust from her.
"It's been so long since I've caught Fair Luna's scent,"
he answered. His voice was a deep, rasping tone, followed by what sounded like a frigid, howling wind.
"A year without it is painful enough, but cursed Celestia tortures me with 1,000. After so long, I had to see for myself when I caught the scent once more."
"You come all the way here and frighten my ponies for a smell?" Tirado asked.
He took a sniff towards Luna's direction.
"It's not that fantastic."
"Big brother," Luna said quietly.
"You understand nothing,"
Fenrir growled.
"Watch your slobber,"
Tirado growled in return.
"And stop boring me with your infatuation. Why come here yourself? Do you plan on breaking our pact?"
"Let us make a new pact,"
Fenrir said.
"Your legion is on the defensive, and my army is on the rise. Surely you will listen. Let us make a new pact while your eldest sister is not here to impose her will."
"Make your case, then,"
Tirado replied cautiously.
"What kind of pact are you proposing?"
Fenrir focused on Tirado shrewdly.
"Give me Fair Luna as my bride, and I will leave. All of us will leave."
"Luna isn't mine to give," Tirado answered. "If that's all your new pact is..."
"Wait!"
Luna interrupted. Both Tirado and Fenrir looked towards her. She swallowed nervously and stepped forward.
"If I go with you, do you promise to never attack Equestria?"
"No wolven will so much as set foot on this land, so long as you remain with me,"
Fenrir replied. His growling voice could barely contain his eagerness. Luna feared that he might go so far as to rush her if he couldn't control himself. Tirado drew Luna aside and whispered to her harshly.
"What are you doing?"
he asked.
"Are you seriously considering marrying him?"
"If it means putting a stop to the centuries of war, then yes."
"Celestia will not allow this, and that means I can't allow it either."
"I am a princess of equal standing to both of you. I'll decide for myself what I can and can't do. My only regret will be if it turns out that I could have done this at the start."
Tirado let out a sigh. Once more, he had mixed feelings about Luna's newfound assertiveness.
"You used to be terrified of being so much as 100 miles of him," he said.
"That was a long time ago. I can do this, big brother."
"What is this whispering about?"
Fenrir growled.
"Are the two of you going to plot right before me?"
Luna took another step forward so that she was right before Fenrir. The smell of his breath and the sight of his gaping maw sent a shudder through her, but she held firm.
"I will be your bride, King Fenrir," she said, "if you promise that you and your wolven will never again be a threat to Equestria."
"I will,"
Fenrir said eagerly. He looked ready to pounce on her, but Tirado took a step forward as a warning.
"It will be part of our wedding vows in Wolvengard."
"Then..."
Before Luna could continue, Fenrir's ears suddenly perked up. With a snarl, he jumped to his side as a massive beam of pure white light struck the ground where he was. The fallen snow vaporized on contact, and the ground charred and melted into red-hot goo. Aghast, both Tirado and Luna looked to where the beam had come from. Their gazes went directly towards Bastion City. The beam had come from one of the taller buildings. Tirado recognized the spell as a simple light beam, magnified to suit the power of only one caster he knew who favored it. Luna seemed to recognize it as well. To their misfortune, so did Fenrir. His sight caught a figure of what seemed to be Celestia standing on the roof. He recognized the mane and the wings, but something was wrong.
Treachery,
Fenrir snarled.
Cursed Celestia hides her scent and then hides behind her younger sister to assassinate me. Coward!
That's not true, Tirado shouted. Calm down, Fenrir.
The entire Wolven army was in an uproar, and the ponies along the wall followed suit.
Your sister is without honor, Tirado. I will honor our pact for the shred of honor that you have, but there will be no more negotiations. I will kill you and Celestia. It is the only way I can be sure that Luna is not a trap.
Wait!
Tirado called out after the giant Wolven.
This is a mistake!
It was too late, however. Fenrir had rejoined his army, dodging and weaving to avoid any more light blasts.
Moonshadow!
Tirado heard Fenrir bellow. Luna could only look on, stunned.
Damn!
Tirado struck the ground with a hoof, sending shockwaves in all directions. He started to fly back to the city. When Luna delayed in following him, he shouted after her.
Come on!
Twilight Sparkle caught a good look at the powerful blast of light as it streaked past her and towards King Fenrir. Amidst the sudden confusion, her first reaction was to immediately trace the spell's source. To her horrified surprise, she saw what appeared to be Princess Celestia standing on top of one of the buildings. Realizing what the blast had caused, Twilight concentrated on a teleportation spell. The distance from the top of the walls to the building was great, but she had to reach that spot before the princess left. A flash of purple light enveloped her, and in a second, she was standing on the building's rooftop.
I had to do it, Twilight Sparkle,
she heard Celestia's voice say.
Luna was going to marry that monster, and Tirado was going to go along with it.
Twilight grit her teeth and tried to steady both her breathing and her legs. The teleportation and the magical drift had all but drained her completely.
Drop the act, she said angrily. I've known the princess far too long to be fooled by it. Who are you? Why did you do this? Clever, as expected of Celestia's favored pupil.
Celestia's voice changed in the middle of the sentence into a softer, slightly deeper pitch. The image of a regal white alicorn with a flowing multicolored mane seemed to dissolve into mist. Twilight's eyes narrowed as she tried to get a good look. The mist made it difficult to make out anything.
That was an impressive teleportation, Twilight Sparkle,
some pony said. Twilight felt a chill run down her spine as she heard it.
But you've overexerted yourself and underestimated the potential enemy that's awaited you at your destination. If I attack you right now, I can kill you with ease and then drink your life at my leisure.
Twilight started to wave the mist away with a hoof.
Who are you?
She asked again. She saw a glimpse of black within the mist, as well as a hint of a shape. She was talking to a pony, a black-coated pony. The voice belonged to a mare, and the magic made it a unicorn.
I'd hate to pluck such impressive talent before it has had a chance to bloom. I'll see you again,
the black-coated unicorn mare said. The mist dissipated, but there was no pony on the roof besides Twilight.
Twilight Sparkle!
Twilight looked behind her to find both Prince Tirado and Princess Luna standing on the roof.
Where is she?
Tirado demanded.
I know an imposter when I see one.
She's gone, Your Highness, Twilight said.
Who could have done this?
Luna asked.
And why?
Tirado walked over to the spot where Twilight had last seen the mysterious unicorn. He seemed to have noticed something on the ground and bent over to pick it up. It appeared to be a long strand of crimson. The sight of it seemed to plunge him into a shadow.
I know who,
Tirado said softly, almost wearily.